Cleveland, beginning this most unexpected visit with Cook in Helen this Monday at bedtime, the 11th of March, 74. This visit I never thought would happen. Channel 1 over, and beginning of the visit with Cook in Helen this Monday at bedtime, the 11th of March, 74. Channel 1 over, and beginning the visit with Cook in Helen this Monday at bedtime, the 11th of March, 74. Channel 1 over, and beginning the visit with Cook in Helen this Monday at bedtime, the 11th of March, 74.
No, sir, we couldn't be quiet.
There wasn't no way of me being quiet.
Well. So we just readily banged all around the house.
There was no way for me to be quiet.
Oh, Lord, I heard that thing, and I thought the streetcar was coming.
Oh, you thought you was in New York, huh?
Yes, sir. I didn't know whether it was in the air or on the ground.
Well, we were on the ground, but we couldn't be quiet.
I was on the ground part of the time.
Sit down, Cookie. Stand up. What are you going to do? Oh, man.
Boy, I had a day today.
Is that right? You got a? Is this your new assistant?
Yeah.
It's my day off. I decided I'd go with him today.
You don't need that. See?
Hello.
Hi.
No, we were just on our way home when we thought we'd come back.
Don't lay it that way. You're going to run into it. It's dark out there.
Well, I want to see this gentleman.
Maybe you do. Maybe you do.
Maybe
you
do, maybe you don't.
Yeah. Like Jack Stokes said, it's your nose and your forehead, but now you just tell me what happened.
Well, good to see you.
Yeah.
No, I said you all were in bed, and we just couldn't be quiet, so we just kept going.
It wasn't that. I was just out of the bathtub.
Yeah, and I go to bed because my eyes can't see at night.
Yeah.
So, I just bored half the time after I get up there.
Oh, boy.
No, we've been to Lakeland. And on the way home, we just decided we'd come by this way.
Yeah,
down to get a load of feed for Jack Stokes.
Get a load of feed from Jack Stokes.
You did what?
Down to get a load of feed for Jack Stokes.
At Lakeland?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's the other side of Lakeland. I went with him.
Just went around for the ride.
Well,
this is Monday. That's the only day of the week I can get out.
I took a load of horses for a fella. Probably down to Ocala where I was going to pick up where I was going to get him. He wouldn't let him go, so I went to Lakeland and got a load of feed. I've got two more loads this week.
What kind of feed you got in Lakeland? I thought you went to Georgia for feed.
Well, I got horse feed down there, and I got chicken feed,
scratch and mash and laying feed and. Oh, what else?
I see. I got a thousand pound of scratch feed, 1,000 pound of roar, and a ton of laying mash, and 500 pounds of horse feed plus. You need any horse feed?
You got some good sweet feed.
I've got some of the best. 12%.
Really? 12%. That's hot. Maybe it's too hot.
No, it's all right. I didn't get hot with it.
That's coffee. Make you put the coffee first.
I'll put the coffee in.
He does things this way.
Oh, I see. I got it backwards.
You want to drink some milk?
Oh, I see.
Huh?
Yes, please.
You know.
You make it thick.
No, I got some.
Most of it's right there. Most of it's almost enough there.
Oh, I just want a little bit, so that'd be enough. Oh, well, I might drink that too, but I drink coffee too.
Well, I tell you
just
what.
Just a little bit.
Me and my poor old dad, we set up after I got the television working. We set up, by gosh, every night at 11 o'clock and just drink coffee and fuss at the news. And Dad would, he just sat there and fussed at the news, and then his legs was hurting him so bad he couldn't hardly stand before he got crippled. I'm telling you, we had a time. Then he'd fuss at Mama a while, and Mama would fuss at him a while.
Well,
that's what you went for, wasn't it?
I had to put some weight on you.
A little bit of weight,
uh-huh. Yeah.
I was having hot biscuits and molasses that Mama had every morning for breakfast.
Oh, Lordy. Don't talk to me.
And she made him a quilt.
Good Lord have mercy.
Lordy was home. She said she went upstairs and she came back down with a whole bunch of pieces and she sewed them together and made a back for it, and then they had to go up in the cellar house and get the quilt and frames and put them up. She fixed it. Had it all finished. It was time to go on.
Brought back an armload of old rags. Looked like old rags.
Yeah.
But darn, she didn't come out of it with
she
a good looking quilt.
Didn't she?
Yeah.
Why, yeah.
She tacked them instead of quilting.
Yeah. She had the pattern in her mind.
That's
uh-huh.
Right.
That's what she did.
That
oh,
long.
And there's nothing.
But he didn't get to bring it because it was raining. He was afraid to get it wet.
Lord,
so I said, we'll have to bring
it down. Rain down when I was up. Oh, when I left the front, it was raining. My.
Nothing as beautiful as a homemade quilt.
I tell you what. To me,
uh-huh.
As bad as I need money, a $100 bill wouldn't buy that quilt.
Well, I'm sure it wouldn't.
I'm serious. A $100 bill wouldn't buy it.
Uh-huh.
I missed that. Say that again.
I said, as bad as I need money, a $100 bill wouldn't buy that quilt.
No.
I just want to.
There's nothing to replace it.
No.
Nothing will replace it.
No. No, sir. No, sir.
Well, poor Mama told me, she said, now let me tell you something. She said, when it gets to where we don't have to feed, said, Daddy's going to bring me to Florida.
You guess they'll ever get to that place.
Mama's coming to Florida.
I had to laugh. Leo said his dad hurt his legs start bothering him, so and he had to get out and help try to feed. He said his dad was feeding in four places. He said he cut it down to two, and he said if he'd have fed another week, he'd have cut down to one. The mud is so deep. Oh.
Bought me a pair of gum shoes that come to my knees. And let me tell you, fellas, I went in mud over them gum shoes.
Of all things to your knees.
He said he did that putting the cow in the barn. He told his dad it'd be easy to let the cow go back on the hill.
I told Daddy, I said, that's the last time that cow go in the barn. I turned her out with the rest of the cattle.
Poor thing, she was dragging.
Her belly was dragging the mud.
In the mud to get in. They had just had so much rain.
Oh, don't tell me.
Rain? We had about three pretty days all the time I was up there.
It rained.
Rain and snow.
The bottom above the house,
snow.
He said it just looked out and it just looked like
don't
a lake. And it's never looked that way before. It just had so much rain.
And just saying, we had.
And then. It's so dry.
Is that right? Is that right? And you've got shoes that come up to your knees, and you got the mud that come up the top of shoes.
We're down in the shoes.
Went down in the shoes. That's
Three good days. All the good weather we had while I was there. And I got Mama's hot water tank hooked up, and her pump, they're all fixed up. For the first time that she's had hot water that she could call hot water in her life.
Well, the hot water, you know, always run out or in the, would freeze in the winter. And
you have to cut it off.
Cut off
my golly, I put it in and it was 3 degrees above zero and it didn't freeze off.
The His voice had to what? Everything frozen off in the winter, you know.
Mm-hmm. Everything but what I put in would freeze off. I put the cold water in myself. The bathroom, I put it in, even built it.
I didn't have a cold bath.
Never have had a speck of trouble with it. No way, shape, or form.
But you know, so many of the springs are gone dry. Have gone dry.
The natural fed springs.
That used to be so plentiful, you know, the water was just everywhere. They've gone dry.
So they got hot water year round for the first time.
The first time.
And they don't have to worry about, your mama don't have to worry about the freeze.
And she can wash with a little bit of satisfaction in the, with an automatic washer.
She bought her a new automatic washer about 3 years ago. And she has never got to use it.
Until now. She can use it now.
She didn't have quite enough hot water or something.
She just had enough water pressure.
They didn't have enough water, period. All they had was hard water, and they couldn't wash her clothes in hard water. She had to have soft water.
Well, how'd you manage it?
I put it in a different well. I got a pump, another pump. They got two pumps now. One for hard water and one for cold water.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Well, how do you tell which well is going to be which?
Well, the soft water's on the hot water
and the hard water's on the cold.
And the hard water's on the cold side.
Well, I mean on your pump. On your pump, how you tell?
There's two pumps.
There's two of them.
Two different pumps in two different places.
Yeah. Well, how do you tell which place is going to give you cold water and which is going to give you hard water? You just have to guess?
No.
No.
You can tell.
Because they're in two different wells. The pump for the hot water is over that well. He built a box and put the pump right over the
well.
Wells.
They got a hard water well and a soft water well. One is a dug well and one's a drill well.
Oh.
Which is the dug well?
The
hot
water.
The
hot water.
The soft water is the dug well.
I see.
So he built a box
over
it.
That comes from the spring.
That comes from the natural fed water, yeah.
And then the other one's a drill well.
And
there's enough in there, it collects enough in there to wash.
Oh,
my gosh, yeah, it wasn't
well.
About 3 foot.
It's like
the
a regular dug well.
And it's 23 feet deep, because I've been down in it.
What's on it?
Just clean them out.
Well, it's just dug down in clay.
In clay?
In clay, and walled up with rock on the inside.
That's the way they dig
wells.
23
feet deep.
Got rock in it too.
Oh, see, it's a big.
It's
about. I don't know how big
around.
It's 3 foot
diameter.
It's masonry.
It
was cemented rock.
Yeah.
And then you fix your. So you dig your well, and then you wall around it. You know. And in a dug well, you know, you clean them out there so often. And that's why he's been down in it. He's cleaned it out.
I cleaned it out.
You know.
I've been.
We used to have a dug well, and we'd have it cleaned out every so often.
Down in it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You were down in it and clean it out. You
dip
your water out.
What'd you do with that 20-foot of water?
Pump it out.
You dip it out, pump it out, and get to the bottom and clean it out good, and then it fills up again.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then that's the one he put
the
hot
water. Well, that's new one on me. I've never had one like that.
Never have seen one.
I'll tell you, that's,
well, you know, with children, you know, you used to lose everything in the well. Everything was lost in the well. The day that we had the well cleaned out, we were all there ready to grab.
Grandpa lost
the little treasures that we hadn't had for a while, you know. They were in the well.
Grandpa lost his glasses in that well. They dropped out of his shirt pocket.
Yeah. Oh, that's easy.
And they went down in the well. Well, I had to go and clean the well out to get his glasses.
Oh.
And you got them.
I got them. That's me.
But we always found those things, you know, that we before.
Yeah.
Before we ever come to Florida.
Yeah.
But I checked the bottom, and it doesn't need cleaning out now, because after.
Well, they've had a curb up over, you know,
I built
covering.
A curb on top of it.
And a pump. They used to have a hand pump, you know.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They had it fixed till it was closed in, and the children didn't drop the thing. But before that, you know, it was always so handy to lose something. I know we used to when I was little, I remember.
Yeah.
Or lift it up, you know, and then lose something.
Yeah, we had a ball, me and Mama and Daddy.
Yes, when he started home, he said his mama had to go as far as Clay with him.
That's right, about 14
then
miles.
Then Grandpa had to go get her.
That's right, 14 miles. Make sure everything's all right.
And
Dad had to drive that 14 miles to take her back home. Ain't that like a little girl?
Ain't that like a little spoiled boy?
Uh-huh.
she had to see
that
little boy got on
you.
Yeah.
Had to see why, Cookie?
She had to see that everything was all right.
That your car was running all right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then Grandpa had to bring it home.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Believing her own eyes.
Oh, we'll have to bring the pictures and show you.
Yeah.
The 50th anniversary pictures. Oh, they are so good.
Oh, really?
Pictures of Grandma and Grandpa, and then there's one picture of Grandma and Grandpa with the children,
yeah.
All 10, and then there's a picture of all the grandchildren that were there that day, and they were all there but 4 of mine. All the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
They're real nice.
I have that picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, cold or not, rainy or not, that sure agreed with you.
All I done was.
I know one morning, Grandma said he didn't get up until 11 o'clock.
Uh-huh. I left at 11 o'clock. Then Dad got out, went and fed. He fed one time that day. That was
and ate twice. He told Mama she wouldn't have to cook it twice that day. Didn't get up in time to cook 3 times. That'd be nice if you didn't have anything to do.
But boy,
you could go up there and stay like that.
Let me tell you, it was raining something. I want you to know. We couldn't have fed even if we had got up early.
Oh,
it was just raining that hard.
And just kept it up?
Just kept it up. It rained all night and all that next day till noon.
Good Lord.
We got out, went and fed the cows and the horses. Carry that hay back on them hills, my.
And your daddy does it.
He does it.
What do you mean carry the hay back on the hills? Back to where the cows are?
Back to where it ain't muddy, to where they can eat it.
Where they can eat it. It has to be back out of the water. I've never seen it that wet.
You mean you have to look for a dry place up there in that hill country?
Yes, sir.
The bottoms are just, he said, just like a lake.
I tell you what, now the bottoms that we used to feed on and used to drive a car up over now, let me tell you, we could look right up through it and it looked like a lake.
Wet.
That's just how wet it was.
You couldn't get in and out.
It was hard.
The little road that goes is creek gravel and rocky, you know. Didn't wash out quite as bad as, you know, just ordinary.
I took my old trailer on the turf right on into Daddy's house. Got stuck on the level ground. After I got off the driveway, I got stuck just like that.
Yeah, right.
Sure
you
did.
Drive this?
Yeah.
Oh, this big rig?
Yeah.
Oh, what in the hell did you need that big rig up there for?
I might have brought back something that could make some money on, but there wasn't nothing to buy. Horses are going.
Well, he took, he used his dad's truck while he was up there.
Horses what?
26 cents a pound.
Yeah.
On the market.
Yeah. You never thought the price of cattle would lag like this. Hell, this is the time the price is high right now when they buy them to put them on pasture.
That's right. They're not going to go much higher, buddy. They're not going to go much higher.
All right, there you go.
I know some people that just sold their cattle in time.
Do you know anybody who should buy some more?
No. No, not now. No.
It's true.
That's what I told him, that's the
horse
business.
I'm out of the horse business.
We don't need
all
anything.
All I got is little man. And that's all I want. Because let me tell you, feed is too high.
Mm. How much do you pay for this?
$7.60 a hundred wholesale.
Well, that's something.
Oh, really?
But now that's cheap. It's $9.80 in West Virginia. A hundred.
Well, that's backwards. It looks like it'd be cheaper up there.
No, it ain't. It's $9.80.
You're right there by that.
Gasoline for the cars is high up there too. Always has been.
But you're right there by that corn country. Illinois, Ohio.
Let me tell you, they didn't raise no corn last year.
Just soybeans. Oh, that's right. They had a hard time last year putting
that
burnt stuff in.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It rained so much up there they couldn't even get their crops planted, and then when they did get them planted, they couldn't take care of them. That's right.
So soybeans all it is.
That's right. Soybeans all it is, and they're high.
Well, I know. I went
$300 a ton.
One bag of horse feed, sweet feed, and 25-pound bag of dog food was almost $12.
God, you know, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. Well, you see on the television, they're trying to encourage people to eat meat. They just quit eating meat.
That's right. It's too high. They can't afford to buy it.
Did you ever think people could live without hamburgers? They don't even eat hamburgers now. They eat bean burgers.
That's right.
I bought a hamburger at Louis' place.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to stop there, you see, and get a short order on cooked on his grill, and we never did. And I was by there one day, so I stopped and bought two and brought them home. And you know, I could hardly eat it. It didn't taste like anything. Could have been me. I've been off hamburgers for a good while.
No, they're just that away now.
They don't taste like meat.
No, they got too much horse meat in them.
What's the name of the new the helper that you put with hamburger to make more? They advertise it on TV all the time.
Hamburger helper.
No, it isn't a helper. It's a new something. It's a filler that goes in with your hamburger meat and you mix it, and it gives you almost a quarter pound more than what your hamburger is. Looks like meal, but I mean it's I forget what they named it. It has a name. Oh yes, you have your hamburger helper.
Yeah, I got my
soybeans.
Got my head.
Yeah, that's
gold.
Part of it. It's ground.
Well, my truck ran hot and coming back, and I think, well, I go out and let the pressure off the radiator.
Oh.
I went out and took the pressure off the radiator. It just released the cap, you know, a little bit, and it quit spewing completely. And I'd been sitting there for 10 minutes, and I went out. And they took the cap off. There was no pressure at all on it. But all at once, it just blubbered, belched. And threw that water all over me and rent my $25 hat and all. I didn't care about my head, but it sure messed up my hat.
Well, I never heard of anything like that.
Yeah, just spit
it. Nose and it's torn.
That sounded like Molly drinking water. You know how a horse, a mule, is it a mule or a horse? You think they've drunk it all, but first thing you know, they'll start spitting at you.
Yeah.
My particular, you can hold the water 15, 20 minutes. Well, it surely must feel like summertime to you down here now.
Oh my gosh.
It's so hot.
Well, it's just been summer for about a week, hasn't it, Ellen?
Yes, but it was summer all during January.
Well,
I thought.
It was spring. It was
warm. I mean, well, it wasn't winter.
No.
Definitely.
But this is hot.
Yes, it's been hot when it gets to 91.
You sit out in that for a little while, and you'll start pulling your chair over in the shade. That's what I'm calling summer.
Yes.
don't have much urge to take a jaunt around the back pasture either.
Golly, you've been gone a month or so?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. Good.
Could just pass too fast.
No. I'm glad to get back, believe me.
I had to laugh. All day, evening, Saturday evening, every time my car went by, he'd look.
I said
you could tell he had been out in the woods for
never
a while.
Never see a car.
Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous?
I'm telling you.
It was so funny, though. You perk up and listen every time a car goes by.
you just don't have much noise then, do you?
Yeah, no, the dogs are barking and the chickens are crowing and the cows bawling and
yeah.
That's it.
Well, you get used to the dogs barking and the chickens crowing and you don't notice them.
That's right. The cows are bawling, you don't pay no attention to them.
You don't pay a bit of attention.
No.
Unless they're looking right at you and start bawling for an hour, then maybe you might come to. Last night, I had one of these old black cows.
Yeah.
And she was standing at the fence looking right this way. And it must be her calf was 20, 30 feet off and wouldn't come. And she wouldn't go. I can get through that for an hour, say. But I woke up at 1 o'clock. She's like she's still in it.
Mm.
I said I want to go there and take a two before.
You might do like Grandma Todd. She said William has hunting dogs, you know, different kinds. And they sleep all day and they bark all night. She went down the other morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and sprayed them with a water hose. She said, I may have drowned them, but that's all right.
I said that's
4 o'clock in the morning. She had to get out and go down to the dog pens. There's seven pens, and there's a dog in each one of them. She just started spraying. She said, I may have drowned him, but that's all right.
I brought me a coonhound back.
And it hasn't shut up since it hit the door.
Is that already brought you in your...
Brought me I brought a coonhound and a half leopard and half pit bull puppy. And I brought 20 bales of hay. Feed little man. I brought
a good
kind.
He didn't know what it was.
And I brought stopped in North Carolina and bought 12 2x6s and 12 2x4s.
Yes. Why'd you stop with that amount for?
It's all the money he had.
Yeah, He even
went out in the woods and cut it down and helped saw it up.
I even went to the woods and helped a man cut it down, trim it up, log it, haul it to the mill, and saw it.
And then he came on home.
He ought to pay you instead of...
Well, I had to work my board out, guy.
Yeah. That's in North Carolina?
That's in North Carolina.
And that's pretty good wood.
Yeah. That's good wood.
Well, let me tell you. This big gate here. And the gate into that pasture. That long piece that goes up, they won't stay. They bust. They just disintegrate. And the one there at the head of the lane, I fixed that not so long ago. It had done the same thing. So it just lets the gate down. Well, all I can do is just put in another piece just about the same, you see, and it'll last a while.
Yeah.
I thought a good hard piece of wood, as hard as I could find.
I got the order in for some oak. 2x4s, 2x6s.
Well, you know, if you had just two pieces of oak, you could hold the gate up, the piece that goes out,
right.
And then that diagonal piece.
Oak is so much, I mean, somewhat much more lasting than time.
Oh, it'll.
He got this, though, to finish the
have to
extend the rest of the porch out. Mm-hmm. You know, to match the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to finish the porch so we can finish the house. Try to think a little dab along.
Yeah, do it a little at a time. But you know, if you hit it every now and then, it'll make a showing.
It'll make a showing, yeah.
Well, it's been a big help just to get the back porch closed in.
Oh, I know it has, Ellen.
And then we extend the porch out, that'll be so much better for the rain, if we can just get it done before the rains do start.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta put a roof on my house.
Well, this needs it. And, you know, I put that syrup on it, that asphalt.
Yeah.
And, it holds it as long as you don't touch it.
But you touch it, it'll just bring your start leaking.
It's just the next thing. It just don't have any. It's just gone to dust almost.
Ronnie told me that get the shingles and give him about 8 hours and he'll put them on my house.
Yeah.
The back part doesn't look bad. I don't think. I don't know. I imagine they are though when you start messing.
I'll bet he can.
Yes,
when you start messing with it, I can't imagine it's rotten.
That bird can really put shingles on a house.
You've seen him do it.
Well, anybody that can put 10 squares of shingles on in a day by himself has got to know how to put them on.
Well, he don't waste any time. You mean take them off and put them on too?
Clean the roof, clean it off, and replace them with 10 square shingles. He has got to work.
Let me tell you, I couldn't get 10 squares off in a day.
He takes a number 2 shovel, one of the big wide shovels, and goes right down there and shovels them off.
I know. He
like
said
that.
Something about walking around
really?
The edge of the roof,
yeah.
You know, to do this.
Is that
and
right?
One of the girls said, walk around. I just get dizzy if I get up so high. But he's just used to it.
I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him perform once. I just like to get the motion.
Let me tell you, old help Poole, Bill Poole, he got over 150 houses in South Florida through roof by contact. And they asked Ronnie if he would take a crew of men for down there and do it. He picked him out of his whole gang to take a crew of men to South Florida and put them shingles on.
They're going to work 4 days a week.
They'll just work 4 days.
They'll work longer hours in a day, you know. And you know, you aren't supposed to be on a roof after it gets so hot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to start to work early.
Work
sometimes
10 hours.
6
oh,
o'clock
me,
in the morning.
Let me tell you, I've seen.
In order to have to come off early in the evening.
I've seen them up on the roof, you see, right in that heater today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it'll get a good man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when he puts in 10 hours, he said that's all I want.
He is so agile, you know. He's so
he's a good boy, I think.
He has ulcers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's been having trouble with his stomach.
Well, he better take care of that.
That's what I told him. So.
Gee,
he's caring about spices and spicy foods and things. I was reading about this in the magazine yesterday.
Well, let me tell you. You know, my old friend over here toward the creek, you know, put on that new roof. She is in that. Does Ronnie know anything about Sears?
No.
Well, they're hoodlums. I mean, they're bandits. Well, I just run up against Jesse James and them fellas.
Huh. Well, there's a fella up home. He had a tin roof on his house. And they come in there and talked him into putting shingles on.
Yeah.
And they come in there and nailed them shingles to the tin instead of taking the tin off and putting sheeting on. They nailed it to the tin.
Yeah.
Why? Goodness
sake. They did.
Just solid shingles. You haven't got any sheet.
Valley tin.
And that plywood, I know that plywood, you know, is what they use. And I'm telling you, and old Bobby stood there right there watching them. That little old house over there, they charged them $2,000. We figured it up. I went over there, Mr. Eastman. You know, we talked about that. I want to talk to Ronnie.
That's close.
I want to talk to Ronnie. We'll go by there, maybe he can look at it from the road sometime. And I want him to just tell me, to give me his figures on that. Why, hell, they couldn't even count to the square. Oh, it was.
Well, he told me how many square shingles it'd take to fix my house, with my house.
Yeah, and you really need it?
Yeah.
Just those asphalt ones to carry it? It'd be cheaper just to put on a shingle.
That'd be cheaper in the long run just to put on a shingle.
Well,
now I'm going to do it a little different from what he thinks. I ain't going to let him take everything off to the sheet.
You just going to put it over the other?
I'm going to put it right on over top of the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, what is the objection to that?
Well, it gives you more insulation. Leave your old shingles on there. And they're not leaking now.
We had just one place, and
And they ain't gonna leak afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The new one sure ain't gonna leak.
Yeah.
And can you put the new shingles on over the old one?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, the old shingles, yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Right
on over the top of it.
Oh, that'll simplify it, won't it?
Yeah, just simple as ABC.
Well, what is your trouble then? You don't even have to fool with the trimming and all.
No, you don't even have to put the trim up or nothing. But Ronnie don't want me doing it, see. He wouldn't even let me climb a garden, by golly.
And believe it or not, but I was so tired I didn't even hear him, and they were outside my window. I didn't know they were on the place. I didn't hear that thing the first
got
time.
Got some onions back, got the oil, got them put out. Planted some squash.
One row of strawberries.
I got 12 strawberry plants back that he dug up.
To get started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put 5 little bunches of
grass
to get started.
Put it in my flower bed, of all places to put grass. He said he knew then it'd be taken care of.
But now that is the prettiest lawn grass that'll grow down here. So it all put in an irrigation system, just by golly to keep it wet, if it'll grow down here. That's the prettiest lawn that you ever saw.
Well, let me tell
you. So he put it in the flower bed so we'd be sure
to
keep it watered.
You get one of them little 2-horse, 3-horse, whatever it is, irrigation pumps that like Marvin Garcia's. You never regret it.
Well, where will I pump my water from?
It'll even pull it up by your well.
Well, I got electricity. All I got to do is put on another pump and that. And
well, I know, but this, you can buy a cup of this, cup of that gasoline will save you $4 or $5 of electricity.
More electricity I use, the cheaper my bill is.
Yeah.
Mine is.
But
I'd go out there and wail like a madman all week long.
And it won't be anymore.
It won't be no more.
Isn't that funny?
Now, Helen, I can prove that to Helen. I've got two hot water heaters hooked up, and you can it ain't no more.
We took our old hot water heater and put it under the shed and took our washer out there.
Uh-huh. Oh, did
you? In the kitchen.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. I put me a new hot water heater in the kitchen.
But,
got the deep freeze, two hot water heaters, refrigerator.
Stove.
Stove.
And air conditioner when we get it in.
And,
it's still on the front porch.
When the kids is there, every light in the house is burning.
What? How do you get your air conditioner?
Oh, Leo drummed it up someplace.
Oh,
it's
one of those things.
Got a dishwasher.
Uh-huh.
He got a dishwasher and a horse trade.
Did he?
Yeah.
Lord, yeah, I wish you had some sand.
Yeah.
But we took the rack off yesterday.
I've wished that too a long time. Oh, well,
I hadn't asked somebody to do any sand.
No, we took the rack that we had the oil drum on, you know, for when we had a kerosene stove, and we moved it over under the window to see if the air conditioner would fit on that rack. And
yeah,
I think
really.
It'll work when we get it put up.
I
so
took a kerosene stove and I stowed it in the dump. I got me a wood cook stove.
Yeah.
That's all I used all winter.
Is that right? A wood cook stove?
Yeah. But one bottle of gas all
and night. It was very cold and I had to have very much fire. I cooked and baked bread on.
Uh-huh.
Sure did. Got my coffee water hot.
Yeah.
And my baked biscuits and cornbread.
Yeah.
And anything I wanted to warm, I'd stick it in that oven instead of bothering to
fire up the electric oven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the pretty part about it, see, I've got two of them jokers.
We just don't have the other one up. But we have another wood cook stove too. If we keep the other one, we were talking about putting one and putting the other one on the out back, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
well, let me cut in. I'd go cut it on for you, but it's too far out there. You just barely got it in time. That old attic fan you dumped out there in the yard, and I got it in, and it sat out there on the porch all winter. Well, it's installed.
It is.
And I'm telling you, it does. It's a Wade tricorder over here. You know Wade. And I turn it on for him. And we had a little storage in that room up here where the children stay when they're here. Just raised the window, and I was sitting there, I say, hell, Wade, that damned old attic over the kitchen there is one thing that makes your house hot. I opened that door and we cleaned that out. He says, it's a new house. it's just phenomenal what an attic fan will do. Faye's got one. I had forgotten it. I had clear forgotten it. But we lived for several years, Faye's sister there in Oxford, you see, and they had one of them big old family houses that they bought 50 years old out there on the pike, and it was two-story with a full basement and a full attic, and it had one of these huge attic fans up there sitting upright at the head of the attic, the attic stairs, and we turned that on, and it and we didn't just do one room at a time.
You cool the whole house, didn't you?
Just clean the whole damn house. Any door that's open, it just clean it out.
20 rooms in that house, and they were all cool.
But does that old fan work all right?
Does it work all right? And you know how we got it up there? This Eastman got up there, and I handed it to him.
I ain't saying anything, but I thought, well, if it falls, it falls on you. It doesn't fall on it. It's okay. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it.
He just
handed it up.
I tell you what the trouble was. I was scared of it. And it sat out there, and I'd hardly touch it. And I'd lay the towel on it every now and then. Miss Eastman said, well, let's just go out there and see if it'll run. So he brought his light cord out there and with them two wires in it and stuck it in the switch. And I twisted it around there, and he turned that, and the thing turned on. And just as soon as it started running, I knew everything, what would happen. I thought that little motor would be so strong, you see, it'd pull a door off. Well, it wouldn't. It's just right. It's just the right size. And then the weight of it, once I picked it up and he turned that thing on, I knew I could handle it. But you know, I, like I said, I've been afraid of it. So we just took hold of it and brought it upstairs and set it down there. And there, that hole up there was in the ceiling. He'd made a hole in the ceiling for it. And the question was, the point was to get it up there. So we hassled back and forth there for some time. Mr. Eastman stood down there. He says, all we need is two more men.
And Mr. Eastman can't hear. And he was up in the attic, and I was down here, and I thought, well, they really will, this will be a mess.
Well, sir, I said, I got a pulley out there, Mr. Eastman. So I went and got it, and the pulley was all right, but the rope had rotted out. It had been 6 years since I used it. So we brought up a rope of his, you know, in there. And I brought him a piece of wire, and he wrapped it around that rafter up there and secured it. So, you know, if I lose my footing, that thing wouldn't fall on me. And he said, just, I was going to put it up over here by the stairs. He says, no, you don't want it over there. I got to have it over on this side where the motor will be next to the wire. Well, I said, hell, Mr. Eastman, you're ruining my wall. Well, he got to thinking about that in a minute. He said, well, stick your ladder over there, that 12-foot ladder. Well, sir, that solved the problem. You see, all I had to do is scoot it up that 12-foot ladder.
You walk up one, scoot another.
That's right. I got it up to the top there, and he says, well, take your ladder out. And that's all there was to it. That's all there was to it. And I've been living in need of that. Last year was the worst year we've ever had out here. I mean, it didn't let up. See, June was all right, but from July on, it was humid to the point where you just never had a chance to get your breath. Now, it may not have affected you, but it sure affected,
yes, it did.
Affected me. And I like hot weather.
And big old rooms, the air gets all up in the top.
Yeah.
Dead air.
You just couldn't
just
move.
Just a pocket up there.
You may not feel that it's hot, but it's just dead.
Just a pocket of dead air up there.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, I got an air conditioner in there.
Oh.
And you say, where did I get it? I got it at Scotty's, where Mr. Eastman gets everything. They had a sale on down there just by chance when we went down there. So it's in there, and it'll cool this.
I'll bet you didn't get yours as cheap as I got mine.
It cost me $250.
Well, sir, I'll tell you what I done. I got mine in a trade.
Yeah.
And I got my air conditioner in about $75 for the good.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, we haven't tried it out. It may not run.
I don't know. If it don't work, I've got a good pile of junk.
But it's supposed to.
You got to take a chance on the new ones, too.
That's right.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to try it out if it stays this weather. I can go to bed every morning. I am so cold.
Helen bought her new television.
And I wake up.
Oh, she needs it.
And I'm burning. And I'm burning up then. I'm just
black and white. That's all the color we want, black and white.
That's all I want.
All I see, that's enough. Which isn't much.
Well, I hope you got one better. These things here are running me crazy. I'm going to throw them away.
What's the cheapest one on the market?
Well, have you got the circuit there?
No. No, it's good enough for all I see.
10-cent store antenna on top of the house.
All right.
12 and 4 is about all I see anyway.
Mm-hmm.
7 and 5 and two sometimes.
Off of a $6 antenna, and it's about 10 years old.
It maybe had half the wires off. You get up there and look at it. We haven't checked it.
It works all right.
It works.
I don't
care if the wires are off or on.
Well, you got your television.
Yeah.
No, just some little something, because we don't watch it very much.
Uh-huh.
You know.
I brought one up here. I thought it was going to be better than this. I bought it down there at Ocala, where I traded, and I gave him $80 for it. Brought it up here, and every time you turn it on, it would start that doodling. And you had to reach around there every time you turned it on. Or if you changed the station, you'd have to reach around there
and fix it.
Fix it. Now, you don't want to live with that, do you? So I took it back. Well, the beauty of trading where I do down there, they don't care whether you keep it or not. But if you go to one of these high-volume stores, you see, they're very particular.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's like a dishwasher. It's a 10 more portable, and fully automatic.
Maybe
10 more. I trade for it. Now let's see now. I'm going to see now. How was that? How did I get that thing?
You traded that. I don't know. All I know is you brought it home. I give up on those things.
Give him a piece of paper,
please. He can figure it out.
Let's see. Well, to start with, I traded Rowdy and Tony for 3 cows and 2 pigs and $200. Alright. I traded the two of the cows for a trailer and got $185.
They must have been good cows.
All right. Let me see something here. All right. The 2 cows and 2 pigs. And got $185 to boot. All right. I sold the trailer. So what did I sell? I could have had
$500.
No, I got more than that. I got $500 and the dishwasher.
And the dishwasher and something else. What was it? Wasn't there something else besides the dishwasher?
No, that's another deal I entirely.
Oh, okay.
I got $500, and the dishwasher.
For the trailer.
For the trailer.
Yeah. Okay.
For the horse trailer.
Yeah, it's a 4-horse trailer, big one. Big pile of junk.
I wouldn't have it.
And I kept 3 tires off of it. 3 8-ply tires off of it. Practically brand new. They cost $54 a piece. So we'll just classify them at $30. And that'd be $90. Then I got $200 cash money to start with. And I've got a cow left.
Well, where is it?
Yeah, Mr. Holt.
Oh, that's right. That's the one he wasn't ready to take the calf. The calf was still on the cow. I forgot about that one. I don't keep up with all the business. That's too much for me. I know one thing, the girls are going to be wondering where in the world we are.
I see. Now, wait a minute. I got $189. Then I sold the trailer for $500. And I took 4 tires off of it.
3.
3 tires off of it. $90.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I got $200 in cash cash money. And I've got a car left.
You got a dishwasher?
I've got a dishwasher. I've got a dishwasher and a car left. And the car's worth about $400.
And the way we use milk, we need to keep it. Oh. I don't know.
It's Jersey. I got $1,375 and an automatic beef washer out of them two horses. Make it.
I think he needs to go to market now with all the saddles and the harnesses. And
no, they don't go. Bags for me not to sell them.
Bridles and all my. I bet you could get a truckload.
Well, and then your air conditioner came in, that's a different
state. That was a different story. I bought a horse for $75. And Jack Stokes sold the mare for $150 and got the air conditioner to go with it.
Jack did that
and gave me my money. What did he tell me tonight?
I was so tired, I didn't know. I couldn't tell you what he told me.
Back in two trips.
Something about two trips, I just don't remember what he said about them.
Got 22 head of heifers to go to.
I was going to ask you, where was that? Out of sea, he said, do you know where Sebring?
Yeah, right below Sebring. Then I got a load of bulls going to Mariana.
And that was 2 days of the week I can't go with you, so I didn't listen too much. The only way I can travel is Monday. That's my traveling day. Otherwise, I stay home.
Let me tell you, Cody. He come back up here tonight and start fighting them damn cows, and he'll get run down again. That's too damn hard work, Helen. I don't care. You can tell, you see. You can tell it. Whenever a man's working gets short breath, it ain't right.
Uh-uh.
We want to keep you like this, because you're just right.
And now I'll tell you what, I just can't make no money. And that's how you get out there and punch cows and horse trade and jockey around and do this and do that. I just can't make no money.
Well, you can horse trade, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hiring out the whole cattle. That's work. If they load them for you and everything like that, but they don't do it.
All I got to do is get out there and push them up the chute. And I got my hot stick for that.
don't work out. No. What happened to Cookie? What happened to you down there at Tampa when the ICC got after you? And how come the ICC bothered with you?
They was bothering with everybody. They was checking everything.
They had a roadblock.
That's right.
He just happened to get in the middle
and
of it.
I just happened to be in the wrong place at the right time.
You got caught and couldn't get out.
That's right.
Couldn't back up.
There wasn't no place to back up.
And you couldn't run off through the field.
His old saying is in between the devil and the deep blue sea.
And you knew they were just waiting for you.
They were just waiting for me.
What did get you
for? They got me for illegal gas tank.
What?
You name it.
Illegal gas tank. I had a 55-gallon drum on the back of the truck.
I remember seeing it. Half on top and half below.
That's right. It's illegal.
Now, but I
mean, you're
not
supposed to have one?
No, it isn't pressure.
It's not pressure tested.
Pressure tested. A drum isn't. That was the reason.
Pressure tested.
That's right. They got the old. They got to be pressure tested to 100 pounds of pressure, or they're not legal for a gas tank.
Well, they didn't warn you, they just told you.
They
found it out, in other words.
They just showed me.
What did they do? Itemized things just like you did?
That's right.
They just wrote down the illegal gas tank so much.
Illegal gas tank and illegal lighting on the truck.
The lights didn't have the lights fixed to suit them.
And those...
you didn't have enough? Looks like
I
a traveling circus as it is.
I didn't have enough.
Carnival.
Why, Cookie?
That's right. No flags, no flares, no safety equipment at all.
You have flags and flares
now?
Yes,
ma'am, I got them.
Yeah. You paid for them, didn't you?
You blame my hat.
Now, what was that about being too long?
I'm not too long. No,
understood it for you to say, or somebody to say, that you were too long and knew it.
No, I'm not too long. No, I'm not too long. No, I'm allowed 50 foot and I'm only 40 feet.
Well, where did I hear that?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't too long. Oh, just the lights and the tank and so forth was enough.
And flares.
Mm-hmm.
And they
but
they,
it just happened to be one of those days that everybody had to be stopped and everybody had to be checked.
And I wasn't the only one, I'm telling you. I wasn't the only one.
They made
one.
It rich that day.
Oh,
they made money.
My goodness.
I guess everything was in bad condition. They had to get out and make some money. They made it.
Now, they weren't the Highway Patrol.
No.
Nuh-uh, that's the ICC.
No.
What is it, ICC?
ICC, Interstate Commerce Commission.
Well, what did they do on Florida roads?
Well, they just do it. It's not only on Florida roads.
It's all roads.
On all roads.
There's how many different C's Ronnie told. He used to drive trucks, so he knows.
Know, but
the ICC and another something.
The CCC and
But he says when the ICC gets you, you're got.
I don't know, but they don't know.
They leave the mark.
They
yeah.
leave the mark. That's fast deep.
Yeah.
I know he has another gas tank
they
up there where, in the hole where that one was.
But now,
and
it's legal, and it's pressure tested.
It's pressure tested.
I come right through ICC territory, and they didn't say a word to me.
Well, let's hope they don't stop you again and check you.
How'd you get that tank?
I bought it.
He got it up on his up home.
It's just like the one you got.
So he can haul 100 gallons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He didn't buy gas at all coming home. He had enough to get home on and some left over.
Is that right?
By just switching from one tank to the other.
Yeah.
You know. I know we stopped at a service station in Hawthorne this morning, and he said, what do you want, 25 gallons? Finally, Leo asked him if that was all he was allowed to sell. He yes, for truckers. 25 gallon was the limit. $5
for cars.
$5 for the gas for cars and 25 gallon for trucks. That was the limit.
Yeah,
he
sells
for
$3
worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, now, some places it's three, and it's usually been three there, but they did extend it to $5 for cars and 25 gallons for trucks. And it's 48 something a gallon.
48.9 and up home is 59.9 and 62.9.
What makes account for the difference?
It's always been higher in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot more state tax on it than they have down here.
Mm-hmm. Tax makes it higher.
That's where they pay the welfare up there.
Yeah.
Well, they need it high, I think. Yeah. Well, we better go.
Cookie, let me tell you, while you're sitting there, tell me what sort of, I need a little trailer to work in. And it don't have to be heavy, it don't have to be long. Just a little two-wheel trailer. Made like this one out there, I guess they're all made the same, with a bed in one end, and then the dining room in the other, and ice box in the middle, isn't that the way they're all made? But I don't need much of one. But the thing of it is, it ought to be fairly sturdy. You get a lightweight one and it's not sturdy.
No.
I'm not going anywhere in it. I'm not going to travel in it. I just want to work in it.
You just want to park it and work in it?
Yeah.
How big does it have to be?
Oh, 15 foot.
Well, I got one 24 feet long.
15, 20 foot is not.
I got one 24 feet long.
You mean you already got it?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't need a good one. I mean, it don't have to be polished and everything, and I don't care about the windows in it, because I put a little air conditioning in it just to keep the temperature regular.
Well, this one doesn't have.
I want to store some documents out there and some tapes out there and work on them out there. And get them away from the house. It's the same.
I got a nice one.
It's not a new one. It's not a fancy one either.
It ain't nothing fancy. It's just in good shape.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I got another one beside this one down here.
He's not talking about this one.
You mean the one over the dice store?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, Dad, you want it. You did.
Look, when I traded for it, I didn't get no marriage license with it.
Yeah, that wasn't the license you trade for, huh?
I didn't get no marriage license with it.
All right, I'll trade you. I haven't seen it. I do better when I don't look at things.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, I bought a car since you were here.
I noticed you have two cars I haven't seen.
It's a 66 Chrysler with 26,000 miles on it.
66 Chrysler.
With that, and it's spotless.
Well, what kind of a car do you have?
With one of those little things down here.
Well, they're good automobiles. But they like the gas.
It gets 12 in traffic.
Well, I get 12 and 13 pulling my trailer.
In traffic?
Overall.
I mean, just either a short haul is what I'm talking about.
I don't know what I'd get on short haul. I say if he went good.
Yeah.
I can check it.
You can't check it.
No, if it starts to
sputter
or skew, he reaches down and does something. I don't know what he does. He's turning something on from someplace else. I don't know.
Did you get that little Dodge you were talking about, Sam?
I got a little Dodge.
Six on?
Six, honey.
How you like your six on?
I like that slant six.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good enough for anybody.
It's just all right. I had to get used to it. It has... automatic transmission, but it doesn't have a power steering. I had to
start
getting used to that.
You know that.
Well, now that you got used to it, don't bother you getting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. I drive.
You know that it's not much difference from that little Ford you had that you sold for $500 or $600. It's a little sturdier, not much.
This hasn't had any driving in it on it. This person drove it to school and back.
Was it old fun to play out? Or?
Well, Ed said if I didn't get rid of it, he couldn't sleep at night because he thought it'd just fall apart any time. Yeah, we still drive it. It runs all right. I'd rather drive it than anything.
Yeah, it's a sweet driving thing to have so many ailments.
I tell you, I'd rather drive that old
thing. That old
Cadillac
of mine. Yeah. I'd rather drive that thing than anything else I've got, and it's, well, I guess it's pretty safe for me to drive, but.
That old is just like a jackrabbit. You sit there, and all you have to do is just touch it a little bit, and it's just like
that. That Ford I bought for Harriet Ann is a good automobile.
Have I seen that?
That mm-hmm. black one that Ronnie had.
Mm-hmm. The one she had down there the other Sunday.
Well, it's missing.
Mm-hmm. It needs some tuning.
It needs
adjusting and so forth.
Yeah.
Well, what about that car that Ronnie got? That's a beautiful thing.
Ronnie, he wants to trade it to me.
He wants to.
But it's too much money, too much automobile.
That's a lot of automobile.
For Harriet Ann.
Yeah.
That's a 464 cubic inch engine.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that a beautiful car?
Good automobile, yeah.
JJ found us a neighbor for you over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Helen Jackson?
Yeah.
He's a young fella. He's broke horses. He ain't much of a rider. And he's an outdoor fella and roughneck sort of fella. And he got that trailer and he wanted to bring it out there. It's a 20-foot trailer, something like that. And I haven't talked to him. But I'd talk to Helen, and I thought, well, if he'd pay your electric light bill,
I'd give him water.
Yes. And he's an able-bodied fella. He can also dig a hole out there.
Yes, he looked like he could dig a hole.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care. It's all right with me.
We'll have a party out there.
Just let him take care of the light bill.
Yeah.
We'll have a picnic out there and dig that hole.
Oh, that's good enough, huh?
That'd be the way to do it.
We get them, all those able-bodied men, but they might not all show up that day.
Well, we won't tell them we're going to dig the hole.
That's
we're
right.
Going to
have a picnic.
We're going to have a picnic and then walk up with the shovel and the mattock and say, now look.
And a little bluegrass music and things like that.
Yeah.
I think the next picnic, I think we better have the food. Helen.
No, I didn't bring very much the other day.
That's because we didn't know you were coming.
Well, what you brought was mighty good. So.
Sure was.
Well.
But now, we got to go. We shouldn't have stayed as long as we had, but girls be wondering where we're at.
I didn't know when we'd be back, so they know that.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
When you
get
out with him, the girl will know that things are not going.
Well, you sure look good.
I gained about 18 pounds, I guess.
Ah, Lord.
Yeah.
Next time you start getting losing, we'll send you back to West Virginia.
I
know what to do with him.
I don't want to run people's business, but I don't want to prove tall of this heavy-duty cattle hauler. It's just too much work to it.
I don't know.
Now, if somebody else does the loading, you see, I could unload them.
Oh, well, now I tell you what. All I got to do to unload them is just open the gate and
they go.
Yeah. But you see, he don't.
I know what you mean.
He don't let the other people do the loading. He does it for them.
Yeah, I know
that.
See,
he come over here and loaded mine. All he had to do was sit down there on the stump.
Don't think he's gonna get
it. He didn't have one damn thing that he had to do. Miss Dodd was over here in my cows, and she bought them. And all he was doing was driving. Well, what did he do?
He helped load them.
He wore himself out there getting them damn cows up there, and then they'd turn around and go back, you see.
Well, I tell you, if I'd loaded them my way, they wouldn't have turned around and
done that. I've never seen anybody do it right yet. They those bastards, they're not normal cows. Them cows aren't. They don't behave the way normal cows do. Why, you know, one reason I had to get rid of them, Cookie, they just got so they worked the pee out of me. I mean, nothing would go easy. They'd make me do it all the hard way. I've got two cows on the place now, let me tell you. You know that old 18 with the rheumatism? Well, she's still here, and she's peered. I never see her move, but every now and then she's on this side of the pasture, and next time she's over here. She don't seem to be able to move, but she moves. She gets there somehow.
Yeah.
But you know that little stunted runt of a. Do you remember what a specimen of a steer that was?
Yeah.
I had 8 heifers. Most of them was pretty. I had 1 or 2 of them sort of spindly. And that damn little old steer. Well, he was so no count. I didn't even pay enough attention to him to take it to market. And you know what he looks like now? He looks like Pappy. He's big, and he does something that I had never seen one done before. He used to be thin, but he's spreading out.
You ought to see Cathy.
I wish I could.
Yeah, well, look what Cathy started out. This thing started out knotty. Why, you can't tell what a darn cow's gonna do.
Well, didn't I tell you? You can't tell what they're going to amount to.
And he ain't getting anything. I give him a little feed every now and then, just enough to encourage him, as the fellow said. And let me tell you, he just like that bull. You know, that bull, I didn't realize how much difference there was in bulls. That bull, those cows was bred on time. And didn't any of them miss being bred. Not with that last bull out there. You know, that bull moved.
Yeah.
He didn't hang around. And he was so fast, you know, I couldn't stop him. He could cut by me.
Yeah.
Well, sir, you know this little old steer? He just like that. And you know, he got that. He's light on his feet, and he's quick, you know. It's a shame we made a steer of him.
How many bags feed you want? 50-pound bags.
50 pounds. I've got 100 pounds out there, haven't I, guys?
Well, you had, I don't know, some yeah. pound of gold. You could use another 100 pounds.
I could use 100 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah. Just drop it anyway out there. I'll get it, Cookie.
Yeah. No.
Now
you see on this one, here's one of the beautiful ones. No, it's not. It's easy. I've got some tapes there that are first rate. I mean they are performers stuff. This one here, what made me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nick is that ham radio boy that got me going.
Uh-huh.
If it hadn't been for him, I'd still be walking around with a shoulder strap, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that anymore. The only place I ever record is in here.
Mm-hmm.
He came up here one day. He hung around here for several years, and he had this egghead looking fellow with him. He had on a sort of a egg yellow jacket, sweater, t-shirt of a thing,
mm-hmm.
with a horse on it,
mm-hmm.
and his hair sort of, I don't know, and he turned out to be one of the famous Catholic fellas. He had charge of the, oh God, the word don't come to me. The some, he had been dean of some large chapel in Washington D.C. and things like that.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it was rich. It was rich. Now, I can't. You just can't imagine what these things have done and how much experience there is on them. Let me just tell you a little bit about that. When I didn't go out there, because I was teed off with Nick for some reason, but I said, say, go out there and see what the little bastard does. I guess so I could. And she went out there, and she came back and said, this fellow out here, I see something. And I had some student papers in there, and I had one good piece on religion by a freshman girl, and I told her, I said, take this out there and see if you can make anything out of it. And I saw him when he was reading it, he sort of held his head, you know. And when I went out there then, our contact was already made on that old freshman girl. He says he had seen all sorts of drifty religious girls like that. She was more sex in it than religion, you know. And so that helped me. I didn't know what it was. And I, Mr. Eastman, he's the maintenance man. He's the man who, he can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He puts that screen door on and he does everything. he was up here then. He's helping me on the front porch. Those columns out
mm-hmm.
there were getting shaky down there. And he was right out there at that time, and he was filling up a little bit. And I thought to myself, well, Mr. Eastman, we ought to bring Mr. Eastman in here and sit around
and let this man talk and entertain him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing about the countryside is they can talk, but they can't listen.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it turned out was when we got in here, you see, Mr. Eastman started talking, and he started egging him on. And Mr. Eastman had the best audience he ever had. And he gave one episode after another that happened down here at Orange Lake, down
mm-hmm.
there where the Trade Winds
yeah.
restaurant is. You see, that now what it amounts to is this. He report and make you sick and wonder why you ever open your mouth. Now that's what the countryside can do when you hear a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, ordinarily they're leisurely, they make contact with the subject and they're thinking as they go along.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had already talked to me about all those things, and I sort of half gave him the cues here that now and then, and sometimes he took his own cues, and he went over those things that he told me about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, and you'd see him and you'd think, that little old puny fella, what's he good for?
Yeah.
Why, God Almighty. You see, he not only knows what goes on, but he can tell you about it and make you seem ashamed of yourself. Now that's what these tapes do.
Yeah.
And you see, that's what you got up here with these egghead professors and all like that, you know, they think they know something. And they haven't, you see, they don't know what's on these tapes. We never heard people talk like that. I never either.
I've never heard anybody talk like that either, really. You know, you sort of hear satires of that, you know, just talking.
Yeah.
You hear satires on TV when
yeah.
people laugh and you
yeah.
say, here's how people
yeah.
talk, you know, and they tell stories and stuff.
Yeah.
But you don't ever...
So you have no idea what...
We don't have any idea because...
But they do.
You'd be surprised, but, you know, I was surprised what people talk about, too. Sometimes, you know, get into conversation about really nothing. You know, they're just talking. They have these social conversations where you just talk about nothing, you know, really.
Yeah.
Get nothing out of it, but something like this, you know, where these people are talking. They,
now
they're relating stuff.
This is the thing that got me started, and this was in the fall, in September of 1968. I had been in touch with all these people, and they were all old, getting old, and they were sick, some of them. And I could sit there and listen to this talk, and all my cares would leave me. I mean, I had a feel for it. And that summer, that late summer, for several weeks, I didn't go around them. I didn't have the heart to. I just felt like this was the end of all this good talk, and I didn't have anything to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me sick to think about it. And then... new term started, been going 2 or 3 weeks, and I got up my courage one day, and I went around, and I stopped at 3 places, and each place I stopped, it was just a marvel, and all I had was that little old cassette, and I had it, I kept it hid as best I could, you see, so it wasn't disturbing anybody, and I got those talks, I guess it was an hour talk from each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept looking at it and looking at it and looking at it, and everybody would come out here, I'd play it and listen at it and listen to it and listen to it, and they'd say, oh shit, you're just wasting your time, there's nothing on that. And that's where I made my first statement, that what they say is informative, and it comes from their experience. And for me, that opened up the whole thing. From then on, I could listen and hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now that's
the way it goes. That's it.
I remember one of my little freshman boys, I used to talk about a little bit in class, not very much. And oh yes, he says, we went by there. There's a little old store over here, country
mm-hmm.
store. He said, we went by. And I said, well, I hope you're enjoying dinner. Oh, they said, well, we didn't stop. We just saw a bunch of old fellows out there in front of talking about the old times. He knew what they were talking about before without even listening to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've always thought about, you know, if you really get into it. Well, that's like they've done commentaries on, you know, on America.
Yeah.
They did commentaries on that. And it's really different, you know, what people can say.
What class do you teach? What did you taught freshman English?
Oh, I taught freshman English and sophomore English and junior English and everywhere along the line.
Did you teach 111,
111, 112, 113, 211, 212, 213.
All right, you've caught everything. Oh. I'm in 111 right now. Yeah. This is my third quarter. I'm the third quarter, but I'm not doing too good. I didn't get started in English like I was supposed to. So I'm in each 111 right now, writing
you
paper.
You probably know so much, you'll get plunked.
You know
too much now. You got to be pretty ignorant in order to pass that.
Yeah, I got an interesting course coming up. I know. You have to know how to write, though. That's hard. I've got a professor now who says the University of Florida grading system is too easy. He's only going to give B, C, E. And nobody gets B's unless you're super good. Nobody gets A's because he doesn't have any excellent students. Most everybody gets C's, and the people who don't get C's get E's. That's not poor students either. But that's what everybody's getting in the class. But he's nice, but he's real young. He's only second year from graduate. He graduated 2 years ago, and he's still got his young ideas with it. He'll get his Oliver, hopefully. But it's sort of a fun course. I got communication next quarter, special topics English about communication.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. I forget who's teaching it. Could be a pretty interesting course, I hope. It sounds like it's, I guess it's fun to communicate.
Let me tell you, can you look into that telex, is that it?
I think it's telex.
Without bothering Daniel?
I won't have to ask him, but I have to get some information.
Well, I mean, just to find out about it.
Well, he's told me it'll do. He says it'll do that. And the thing is, like, when I first went in there, the first day, I got the impression it was busted. The last time I went in and talked to him, I got the impression it wasn't busted. So maybe it's fixed. If it's not fixed, it's getting fixed by the 14th of March.
The last information I had was that it was, the cassette part wouldn't work.
Oh.
But the reel-to-reel will work.
Well, that's probably what, because see, the secretary thought it was busted.
Yeah.
And they said it was going to be fixed by March. No, Betty said it. She thought it was busted and it was going to be fixed on March 14th. Because it's fixed. The representative is coming to fix it. It's coming around that time of the month. And Bob down in the electronics department, I think it's Bob. He can't fix it because it's too big. It's under warranty or something. So Telex or whoever they bought it from has to come fix it. But I was under the impression that it does reel-to-reel. So if it does reel-to-reel, if we could do this,
right,
much faster. You know, we could
15 inches.
We could do them four times as fast as they were originally recorded, and
we get
all the tracks at once.
Yeah.
And we get exact copies. And
right.
We could also be making, you could be making up to three other copies of the whole library, you know, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, because you took the master on, you've got, I think, three slave decks that will record three copies, so you could have more copies.
Yeah,
now, you'd have your whole house filled up with tape when we got done, but, you know, you'd have three copies. And that way you'd have two, you know, copies on this tape. It's good tape. It's not going to deteriorate with age. Now, the acetate tape you've got is going to deteriorate with age, but this is Mylar that we're using now, and it shouldn't. Nothing should happen to it in the process of age.
Well,
hopefully.
Well, we've made some progress.
Yeah, and now on duplicating, I'm going to find out where that machine is. Is it stuff on the other side of the fourth floor? I think what I'll do. See, he's got me set up in that room where I am, and I've got almost the main of that room now. Interesting. See, I can put the tapes in there, and I can still use the Ampex that's in there, the big one, because when I take them off high-speed duplication, I'm going to want to listen to at least that part of every tape, make sure it duplicates.
He's got one in there with that big telex. He's got a TIAC in there.
Oh, does he?
Play them off.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought I'd use the room in 453. Storage and also just place where I'd come in and work.
Let me
tell you. In there.
Let me tell you. With this sort of work, with this sort of material, it's not going to work just hitting it every an hour or two at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be better just to take off a whole day or 2 days or whatever you're up to and have me around to. On the background there to sort of keep the paperwork going.
Right. I'll have to try to do something. I'd like to work on. It's hard for me to get that much time off. That's the only problem because the school is getting. Well, see, I got involved in a bunch of campus organizations in the school. I take 16 hours, but I also have. I'm in class 22 hours a week. And so my schedule is hard to do that with. That's the only hang up that.
You say Saturday or Sunday or something like that.
and then the weekends I almost out. But I can't. I can get any customer service. But,
and you see, if you got a stretch, you can get so much more done. You don't have all this starting and stopping. And with
well, with the high speed duplicating, we can put one wheel on and keep three copies, and then we'll just to start and do a process anyway, if we know what we're doing and if we can get the logging worked out. Now, the logging should be real easy this way.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
See, all I've got
all
to
do
when
to
I
do
when I make a copy, take your original
number.
And make the copies and put them back in the boxes and put the real numbers, then you can take this
yeah.
and transfer the names. You
yeah.
got the names.
Whenever,
you can transfer the names and the dates and everything onto the boxes
yeah.
that I've got numbered. So our logging should be real easy that
real
way.
Easy.
And I won't have to worry too much about logging except to make sure that the vehicle's going the right, I mean, the buy box
yeah.
is that
big. Except with this sort of material, you need me within call log.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to tell you what to tell them to do.
And to sort of overlook some of the, you know, little items that you don't want
right.
to tear them on your head.
Yeah.
Now, with this kind of material.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see.
Now,
what
see,
if
I
we set up a.
Again.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how to do this. With a high speed duplicating. See, I main thing I want to do is I need to get in. If I want to do it, I can't take. There's no way I can take a whole day. Cause see, I wish I could, but the way my schedule's worked out, I'm in class every day.
Saturday and Sunday too.
Well, I'm not in Saturday and Sunday, but see, I'm not always here. I'm busy on Sundays most of the day because the whole morning shot with church and the evening shot with church. So the afternoon is all I have, and I study on Sunday afternoon people.
And Saturday.
Saturday is okay, except that I can't get into where the high-speed duplicating equipment is on Saturday. Most I have to get on the key. I could probably get in, I guess, on Saturday.
Yeah, you like to have it.
Now, I've got a key to instructional services, but I don't think it doesn't open anything on the other side of fourth floor. So I don't know where that. It's in where Lewis was working the other day. Oh, you know, we got another problem with high-speed duplicator. Lewis is using that room during the daytime some of the time, too.
He don't use it on the weekend.
He don't use it on the weekend,
no.
But he uses it sometimes during the week, because he was working in there the other morning when I went over to get the tape from him. So that's going to be another thing that you can't interfere with him, because he uses that machine to duplicate off the instructional services tape. So, let's go into another question. Time is going to be a problem, because I don't have that much. I have some. The main reason, you know, I need to get the time is, I've got to get studying, and I've gotten behind my studying the last couple of weeks, and we're getting here again before. So I'm going to get a 2-week vacation, and I'm quarter ahead of us, but I can't finish the time.
Well, do you want to hold up on this until, I don't want to hold up on it.
Yeah, I don't want to hold up either, because I need to work too, that's another thing.